morning, he said. Good morning. You hugged me already.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Dei. Awesome for everybody to be here this morning and sing praises to you. Let's see here. I'm trying to do this without glasses and watch the screen, and those two do not mix. So, hang on. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, holy child. Welcome, holy child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. Long awaited, holy stranger. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. We're now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Prepare for thorns. Tiny hearts whose blood will save us, unto us is born. Unto us is born. Wrap your injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our song. Rob our sin and make us holy, perfect Son of God. Welcome to our world.
Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we come to you praising you, come to you honoring you, and we come to you thanking you. Father, at this time of year, and even this morning as we've been singing our songs, we celebrate sending your Son to earth to be born here. And Father, we thank you so much that you decided to do that. We thank you that he was not only born here, but he came with a purpose to give his life for us, for our sins. And We're so thankful for that sacrifice that he made for us. Father, we're thankful for this time of year when friends and family will get together. We're particularly thankful like this morning when our church family will get together. And Father, we pray for our church family here that we'll love one another more. Pray that we can have a heart like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus. And Father, pray that we'll have a heart for our community to go out and spread your love and your salvation to others. Father, we ask that you protect us. Many of us are going through physical difficulties, and we pray for healing. Father, help us to be more aware of the spiritual problems that are coming our way, the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. And Father, we thank you so much for leaving us your spirit to reside within us, to give us power to overcome those things. Father, we ask that you guide us in this service and pray that our hearts will be open to you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So all those involved with the Stage 2 nursery are dismissed at this time. Okay, then we'll all stay in here. See the Virgin is delivered in a cold and crowded stall. Mirror of the Father's glory lies beside her in the straw. He is mercy, incarnation. Marvel at this miracle. For the Virgin gently holds the glorious impossible. Love has come to walk on water, turn the water into wine. Touch the leper, bless the children, love both human and divine. Praise the wisdom of the Father who has spoken through his Son. Speaking still, he calls us to the glorious impossible. Hallelujah. And he bears eternal scars. He was raised for our salvation, and his righteousness is ours. Praise the praise him, praise the glory of his lavish grace so full. Lift your souls now and receive the glorious impossible. Glorious, impossible.
appreciate those beautiful songs that are sung this morning. Let's now read the scripture. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking about?
Someone has to watch the sheep. The sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine. Let's go.
That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We
Angel
lost half
Sam! Angels, they just popped out of the sky, and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, "No, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?"
Hey, guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loincloth. Let's go!
Look, okay? The angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato! Who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't feel.
You can't prove that. Fine. There's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears. Loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Ah!
Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us. Which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know. And I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Hey, did you see? Did you see how fast I was running? Over there I was like a lightning bolt.
But, no, you guys are never going to believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak?
That would be ridiculous. I can't even. I'll see you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. But before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is.
promise me when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me. Promise me.
He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes. I don't think he's going to care how we
Okay, fine. Me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Frank, take a knee.
Okay.
We were playing rock, parchment, cheers.
Oh, yeah?
You lost.
Oh.
The news.
Ooh, that was loud. Sorry, I guess I'm speaking into the microphone. The news. We like to have good news, don't we? We like to hear when someone's recovering from sickness. We like to know when things are going on that are beneficial. But we don't like to hear the bad news. And many of us this year have received bad news. Some of y'all got news of cancer. Some of y'all got the news of loved ones losing their lives. Some of y'all have many other bad news in your families and in your life, work, whatever the case is. And we don't like to receive bad news. Some of you may get the newspaper, if I can find this one. Some of you get the newspaper delivered to your house. Some of you just get it for the games and the comics, and that's okay. Some of you get it just because that's keeping some jobs going, and you don't actually read it. I think that's happening here with the church building. We receive the newspaper, but I don't think anyone actually reads it. But we get the news. And whether you get the physical paper, or you go online and you read the online newspaper, we like to know what is going on. We like to know how things in the world are going to affect us. We want to know what is happening. How am I going to be affected? Good news, bad news. And sometimes they say no news is good news. Depends on situation, right? But the news, we need to know what's going on. We listen, especially when we know storms are coming in this area. Are we going to evacuate? Are we going to stay? Some of you have jobs that require you to stay. But we need to know what is going on. When the stock market crashes, how is that going to affect us and the numbers that play around? Don't ask me any of that stuff. That's well above my head. But when you receive news, whether it's good or bad, something often changes. Something changes. And for these shepherds, a messenger, that's what angel means, a messenger, gave the news of this little baby. A baby coming into this world. Well, good for them. Mom and dad doing well, baby's healthy, okay. But that wasn't all. This new baby affected everyone. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to have this. I imagine the angel was floating. Okay, I think that's what most of us picture. And then all of a sudden, this multitude of angels singing. And I think we sound pretty good here. But I can't even fathom what the multitude of angels sounded like. And if that one angel wasn't scary enough, even with good news, I'd hate to think what it would have been like for the shepherds standing in front of this multitude. Let's continue our reading from Luke chapter 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and who heard it were amazed, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for this story. But Father, we know it's more than just a story. This is history. Father, we thank you that you sent your angels to speak to these shepherds out there in the field. We thank you that you let the heavens proclaim your glory through this baby. So many of us would expect rulers and people who have been well established on earth to come and save souls, save lives. But you brought this baby. And this message wasn't just for those who had value in society. This message was for everyone. And we thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. In many societies, shepherds were, it's actually a misnomer. A lot of people think shepherds were like the scum of the earth. But shepherds were, almost every family had a shepherd in their family. And it was usually the youngest. And so not all shepherds were the scum, or whatever you would call them, the misfits, the odd ones out, those who didn't really fit into society. Shepherds were actually a very important part of society. It was an important part of economy. Unlike farmers, shepherds were often wage earners, paid by the hour, paid by the day, whatever the case. And they were being paid to watch the sheep of perhaps their family or others. Shepherds also lived apart from society, largely being nomadic. They were travelers. Sheep don't live on flat land. I was talking to Mike about this morning. Flat land was used for grain and cereal and that sort of thing. That's where you can harvest well. Sheep were able to go up in the hills where you couldn't plant seed. And so the shepherds were up there, kind of out of the way. It was mainly a job of solitary males without children, and new shepherds. They were often new shepherds, and when they reached a certain age, they would then kind of leave that trade and find a life with a partner or get married, have family, and then it would go on to their child, that sort of thing. Shepherds were most often the younger sons. And you can look at history in the Bible, look at David. He was the youngest. And they wouldn't normally inherit any land. By the time the parents passed away, the father passed away, it would go to the older sons, and the younger one wouldn't really get anything. In other societies, each family would have a family member to shepherd its flock, often a child, youth, or an elder, who couldn't help much with the harder work. These shepherds were fully integrated in society. Shepherds would normally work in groups, either looking after one large flock or bring their own and merging their responsibilities. They would live in small cabins, often shared with the sheep, and would buy food from local communities. Less often, shepherds lived in covered wagons that would travel around with the sheep. So there's a little information about how they did shepherding back there. And I don't know how many of you have done any research on shepherds, but shepherding from the very beginning has been an important part of biblical society. I want to bring a different perspective to this morning's lesson. I don't want us to just go with the traditional, well, the angels came to the shepherds, these poor, lowly shepherds in the field. I want to bring another twist to it, something y'all may never have thought about. A scholar, Alfred Edersheim, if I said his name right, in 1899, offered this theory, or at least breathed new life into it. He suggests there was a place just outside of Bethlehem city, but still within the region commonly known as Bethlehem, where Passover lambs were kept by specially trained and purified shepherds. It is thought that sheep born there were used as sacrificial animals in the Jewish temple in the nearby Jerusalem. So they were very special, and the shepherds were thought of more highly than normal shepherds. The lambs were born in Migdal Eder, which translated means Tower of the Flock, under the watchful eye of the shepherds, who would then inspect and either certify them as used for sacrificial offerings or designate them to be released to a regular flock for common use. The new lambs would, according to some sources, have their health checked by resting them in a manger or a dip in a rock to stop them from escaping. It's much easier, especially if you've had a child and you have one of those changing mats. They're rounded on the ends. When you lay the baby in or a sheep in, it's rounded so they can't roll off. You have better control. That makes sense, right? And so the shepherds would lay them in a manger to check them over. And they would even wrap them in swaddling cloth to show they were special once certified. Now, here's what I find fascinating about this theory. First, it places Jesus' birth in the traditional location for the Passover lambs to be born, fitting since he became the Passover lamb. He became the Passover lamb who took away sins of the world. Second, it explains how shepherds knew where to go and find the newborn baby and why being wrapped in swaddling cloth is so significant. And finally, it explains why those shepherds who were notified as it was their calling to certify Passover lambs. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard about this before. As I was researching this, I was like, wow, this is new. Why have I never heard this before? But it was intriguing, and it's just a theory. Okay, I don't know much more than that. But you can do your research on, let me get the name right again, Migdal Eder. And if you're wanting spelling on that, come see me after. But it's interesting. There was this, and there are several passages in the Old Testament that refer to this place. But this place just outside of Bethlehem City, in the area of Bethlehem. And forgive me when I say the Lake Jackson area. I often refer to Clute, Freeport, Richwood, sometimes Angleton, okay? And if you're from one of those areas, forgive me. I know they are their individual cities, and I respect that. But the Lake Jackson area, to me, is basically southern Brazoria County. Let's put it that way. And so when we read that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it kind of makes sense for it to include the outskirts of the city. It wasn't necessarily in the city. And these shepherds, if these were the selected shepherds that the angels came to see, it was their job and it was their skill to see whether this sheep, this lamb, would be good enough to be sacrificed. They would know, seeing Jesus, what they were looking for. And I think having the angels proclaim would have certainly solidified the decision that they made. But the other part is, these shepherds, they left the stable and they told everyone that they saw. And everyone listened. If these shepherds were just somebody on the street, someone that they wouldn't know, do you listen to the people who call out in the street, turn or burn, turn or burn? No, you're like, stop. You're not doing what Christ wants. To turn a generation, you have to have a relationship with them. And if these shepherds were highly respected, then people would listen to them. And people did listen to them. Abraham, Moses, David, they were all shepherds at one point in their life. Not one of them is disrespected in Scripture. Now, David as a boy may not have been the respected one. And then Samuel came along and anointed him as future king. And I think his brothers listened a little more. I'm the youngest, and so I understand what that can be like. But all three of them, Abraham, had this huge wealth, and yet he was the shepherd. And Moses, God picked Moses out while shepherding to lead and guide his people out of Egypt. And then we have Jesus. I am the good shepherd, Luke 10. I am the good shepherd, but he is also the sacrificial lamb. May I suggest, may I suggest three ways we can proclaim with the heavens? The good news of Jesus can be scary. Because often we have to change something about our lives and chase after him. And when you do, you won't be able to help but glorify and praise God for all that he's doing. When we receive the news of Jesus, that can be scary. Wait a minute, someone died for me? Someone died in my place? And if that hits you right, there should be some guilt in there. And that's scary. And again, I don't know what the angels look like, shining brighter than the stars. And then all of a sudden this multitude. That's scary stuff. But it shouldn't be so scary that we're afraid to do something about it. When we hear the news of Jesus, however it comes, we must do something about it. Number two, this message of Jesus is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're this lowly shepherd or even a well-respected shepherd. It doesn't matter if you're a tax collector, a prostitute, I'm trying to think of other people that Jesus came into contact with. The message is for everyone. It doesn't matter your past, it doesn't matter your future, but your future will change if you receive that message. The message is ours to share. The shepherds shared what had happened to them. The shepherds received this message, went to check it out, kind of like we hear the message, then we study, and then they told everyone. They didn't care whether everyone else wanted to hear. They didn't go, well, that person looks like they might be interested. They told everyone. The message of Jesus is for everyone. And third, excuse me, our job is to share the good news of Jesus. It is our responsibility to share it because we've been blessed by hearing it. It is their responsibility whether they decide to listen and act upon it or not. Our job is to share. Their job is to decide. And that makes me think of the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I'm not going to sing for your sake. Sometimes I think you will be scared because you share the message and someone actually responds, what do I do now? Right? I've been there several times where I'm thinking, I'm just tilting away and they're like, oh, what do I need to do then? Whoa. I wasn't expecting to actually respond and want to hear. Okay, let me gather myself. Let me tell you more. And sometimes we're afraid of that next step when they're actually interested in hearing what you have to say. Whether it's a life story that has brought you closer to God, whether it's the gospel itself, it doesn't matter. We've all had an experience with God, one way or another. He has protected us, He's provided for us, and He has pursued us by sending Jesus to be born in this way, so He may die this way. That is the gospel. He came to die, and our job is to share that story. It's that simple. But I guess it's also not that simple, is it? It's not that simple because what if I get my words wrong? What if I don't say the right thing? What if I'm the shepherd that gets left behind to look after the sheep as everybody else runs on? What if? I want to encourage you, not just this week, because we have a new year. Resolutions, right? And Craig, I appreciate your thoughts this morning. I thought I didn't need to come up and share a message, but I appreciate what you had to say. We have a new year. Opportunities for new starts. I challenge you, and I invite you. Now you know the gospel. You've heard the message. Share. Tell anyone and everyone. Don't care if they want to listen or not. Give them the opportunity to respond one way or the other. And I want to give you this opportunity, to, as we stand and sing, to respond as you wish.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need. That people need
Travis and Cindy Wunderlich have come to express that they want to place membership in an official way with the church. So I say that that way because Travis has been at this church longer than I have. and Cindy, 5 years, 6 years, I don't know. And joining in many of our programs as well. And it's been a joy to have you with us here, but it's a joy for you to do that in an official way, to make that commitment. And I think that there's something to be said for that, and we want to recognize that. If y'all would stand, I think everybody knows y'all, and Kane is in class, their son, and I'm going to lead a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing, and anybody that would like to just join around them and welcome them into the fold, even though they've been here all along, come and do that. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you with joy in our hearts. Father, we come to you with all praise, and we thank you for the way that you move in our lives, that the way you move in our hearts, the way that your spirit fills us, and the way that it makes us into better people than we would have ever been, Father, the way it makes us like Christ in a way. And Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for Travis. We want to thank you for Cindy. We want to thank you for Kane. We want to thank you that they have chosen to, in a very official way, to join alongside us in the work here of this congregation. Father, we thank you for this congregation, and we know that you use this congregation to make each of us stronger and to equip us to live in this world and to equip us to serve you. And, Father, that is our prayer of blessing for the Wunderlich family, that, Father, you will use this congregation to make them stronger, to make them better, to make them useful to you in your ministry. And, Father, and in doing so, that they will be bringing that same encouragement to each of us. Father, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. Praise, and then to glory.
One of the most depressing days of the year for me is December 26th, because that's when I put up all my Christmas music. So Amy Grant, Statler Brothers for Joanne, all that goes back in the closet. And you may be thinking, well, okay, a few CDs. No, I have like two big old crates of Christmas CDs, so I have lots of Christmas music. And so you're thinking, well, yeah, church, why didn't you get the message? Why are you still singing Christmas songs after Christmas? Well, number one, I'm thankful that we actually sing Christmas songs nowadays in the Christmas season. That's a nice change of pace. But maybe it's a good reminder of it wouldn't be bad to sing Christmas songs in the middle of July, because it's not a bad thing to remember the birth of Christ year-round. One of the songs that's on one of the CDs that I put up is by Jimmy Dean. And I know some of you are like, I think I had some Jimmy Dean sausage this morning. Well, just before he did sausage, he was a country singer, so. And he has a song called My Christmas Room. If I owned a great big house, I'd have a Christmas room. When things about me all went wrong, I'd find Christmas still in bloom. There would be a great big tree with evergreen perfume, the branches bright with memories, safe inside my Christmas room. In summertime, when tempers flare, when peace seems a never thing, I'd slip inside and I'd abide where herald angels sing. But since I'll have no great big house when Christmas goes away, then make my heart a Christmas heart that carols every day. And let it be my Christmas room where goodwill toward men shall stay. What we do this morning is also a reminder of, in July, not only think about the birth of Christ, but the full story of Christ. Colossians 3:15, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So our communion service is a weekly reminder that our hearts should be different because of the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and most importantly, the resurrection of Christ. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, we're thankful for the birth of Christ. We're thankful for the Christmas season that gives us all a little reminder that we should be different, that his coming made a difference in our lives. Father, I'm thankful for the reminder that you give us, the small reminders every day to keep the presence of Jesus in our heart. In his name we pray. Amen.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Father, we come before you again, and we're thankful for the gift of your Son, for the life of your Son, for the death, and most importantly, the resurrection of your Son. I pray that the celebration that we have each week would constantly remind us that our lives are different because of the life that he led on this earth. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure.
I have a prayer for the offering now, and then afterwards we'll have the kids bringing their gift up. I think one of these days we ought to change it to where all the adults come running up and throw their money in the bucket, but tossing checks into the bucket's not quite as fun as throwing coins in. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, you have blessed us immeasurably. For the majority of us, we're so materially wealthy, it's hard to even imagine. But more importantly, Father, you blessed us with family and friends, and the Christmas season often is a reminder of that. We're thankful for all the many things that you've done for us, all the blessings you've given us, but more than anything, for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.
Again, welcome you. If we have visitors in the audience, if you'll come back next Sunday, we'll offer you some bread. If you didn't get a carrying and sharing today, don't feel alone. I didn't either. I'm working off of last Sunday's carrying and sharing, so the news may be a little delayed. So anyway, appreciate your being here today. Couple of things just to remind you again. There's going to be an area-wide singing tonight at Sweeney Congregation, and it'll be beginning at 6 o'clock, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Also, just as Greg said, there's going to be a New Year's Eve party here at the congregation beginning on the December 31st, but beginning at 7 and ending at 12:30. So if anyone needs a ride to that, please sign up at the back, and we will be able to provide you a ride to that. Also, the youth will be having a lock-in after that, so if the youth are not need to become prepared to spend a longer period of time. If anyone's interested in a financial peace type university, they're looking for people that might want to sign up for that and get some information on budgets and things like that for your family and how to plan and so forth. So if you are interested in that, please check and see about that. Again, welcome Travis and Cindy. We appreciate your officially placing your membership here, and we just are glad that you did that. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for all the things that you do for us. Many times we take for granted what is going on in our lives, and we just know that you're in control of our lives and that you're looking out for the best for us. We ask that you will be with the members in this congregation. We pray that your blessings be upon them and that you will help them and comfort them during the times that they may be needing stress or whatever they may be needing. Pray that you'll be with our missionaries, that you'll watch over them and help their work to be productive in your kingdom. Pray that you will be with the military members that are possibly away from their loved ones. We pray that you will comfort them during this time. We ask that you will watch over the ones that have asked for prayers in our congregation. We know that there are other ones that have needs and that they need comforting, and that you will be with them, be with the ones that are in what we call a nursing home or various areas that they cannot be here with us today. We ask that just remember a couple of people that I like to call their names, Royce McCoy. I pray that you will be with him in his treatment. We pray that you will be with Kevin Hunter in the upcoming surgery. Pray that you will be with Benice Skinner as she's wanting to get a liver transplant. Pray that she can get on the list for that to occur. We pray that you will be with George Rasko in his cancer treatment. Also, just like to remember someone that's a neighbor of ours, Rich Terry, who is undergoing cancer treatment. We ask that you will bless these, or bless their families, and help them to always remember that you are the one that is in control of everything. Father, we thank you for all the things that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all be standing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord,
we lift up your name.
Salted.